Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast.
I'm Tamika Alexander here with the Health Matters Surrounding Minority Mental Health. Joining us is Dr. Martha Crowther. She is the Interim Chair and Professor of the Department of Community Medicine and Population Health and Associate Dean for Research and Health Policy for the College of Community Health Sciences. She provides behavioral health care to patients at University Medical Center, which is operated by the college in the Family Medicine and Behavioral Medicine Clinics. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dr. Crowther. Tell us a little bit about, is mental health a big topic for minority patients?
Yes. So, yes is my short answer. My long answer is, it's a huge topic for minority patients. Unfortunately, it's a topic that doesn't often get discussed within many minority communities. So while as a mental health provider, I can tell you the needs are there, the mental health needs are there, it's just kind of making sure minority communities don't think of something as normal when it's not, or something that doesn't need, often things need to be addressed, but they get handled within community, an individual tries to cope with them, and often they're engaging in negative coping styles. So it's a big deal, but it's really important to figure out how to manage it differently.
And why is this such a big topic for minority patients?
Okay, so I will start, which I've been starting a lot of these things with COVID, right? It predates COVID, but if you think about COVID, how hard minorities fared during COVID, you saw an increased rate of death, an increased rate of illness in minority communities. That created also a lot of stressors. It's really hard to talk to a person of a minority community who does not know at least one person who either died or was seriously ill from COVID. But being able to say that is not sufficient. How do you cope with that? And how do you, as a community, address that? So there's one thing. There's COVID and needing to quarantine, and for everyone, like, how do families manage that? How do families who normally have a lot of contact with each other, and that is often minority families, how do they then deal with the distance? So COVID kind of highlighted for our country some mental health issues, but absolutely within minority communities, what to do with that. But there are also, if you think about our economic situation, often minority families have a decrease in incomes and a lack of resources, and they're trying to figure out how to make things work. That creates stress. COVID really highlighted that for minority women. So as a group, minority women lost their jobs more than any other group in this country during COVID, often because it wasn't that they worked, but they were caregivers. So they couldn't work for a while, and then it was time to return to work. They didn't have any place, because some things were still shut down, to manage all the people they needed to provide care for. So that was a big deal, and that's a stressor. So there are lots of stressors that are occurring within the minority community, but in addition to that, we also, if we think about physical health, which in part COVID was, but you see a lot of chronic conditions, heart disease, diabetes, hypertension in minority communities. When you look at all the data, you see obesity, particularly among minority women. Those things create their own issues. Often there's this great body of literature that talks about minority women using food as a way to cope. Right, so some of that obesity is not just obesity. It's still a way to cope when you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed. So to me, it's those are some of the reasons I think why you start to see it, or why there is a little bit more, there needs to be more attention to mental health issues. And the last thing I want to mention, because there's just so many, is suicide. The suicide rates amongst minorities are increasing, but definitely amongst African-American and African-American males. So we really need to figure out how to address this. And some of the reasons for that, actually, minorities used to live more in ethnic enclaves, but as minorities move away from those ethnic enclaves, that then could create some other stressors, and it changes how they were coping with the stresses that they had. Does that make sense? So for all of those reasons, I think it's really important to highlight, think about, and focus on minority mental health.
And what mental health issues do you normally see in minority patients?
A lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, And I would say just like generalized anxiety and stress. So just, I see that a lot. But for me, so in terms of my training, I have a master's in public health and my PhD is in clinical psych. So I always go between the mental and the physical health. So looking at an individual differences and then how that applies at a population level. So when I see someone who's sometimes people who are overweight or who have a lot of chronic conditions, it makes me wonder what the underlying stresses are. Now, there may not be there, to be fair, but often there are some underlying stressors that are leading to some of what we see physically. There also could be a level of physical inactivity. So I think that's all important to look at and address.
And tell us, what do you feel increases mental health issues? Is it like backgrounds, social status, financial issues? What are some of the things that kind of cause that to be a bigger problem for some than others?
That's a great question. So I do think contextually we have to pay attention to resources. The lack of resources, that creates a stressor, that creates a huge stressor. Again, just thinking about chronic conditions are expensive to manage, right? So if we tie back into resources, that's a big deal. So if you've got to manage your hypertension, your diabetes, you have to pay for all of that. Those are stressors. I think those are huge stressors, finances, and then thinking about some of the health consequences, but also just managing school is a major stressor. And how do you kind of conduct your daily life when you have limited resources, limited time, or your job doesn't provide you time off to do things? So I think all of those are issues. And I feel like I'm almost stereotyping, and I don't mean to do that. So I know that there are minorities who are well-resourced families, but actually, even when you start to adjust for income, you still see some stressors. So amongst higher income minority families, you still have issues of work stress that comes up. So sometimes you're the only minority in your work setting or one of two. So the stresses may be caused by different reasons, but they're very real stressors.
And tell us a little bit about what are some ways and resources that you all provide for your patients.
I think what we do, to me anyway, is fantastic. And it really is thinking about the mental and physical health. So we have a whole group of psychologists and psychiatrists and social workers who are providing mental health resources and helping with resource allocation, like in social work, how do you find your resources? But in addition to that, I can't tell you the number of patients I've partnered with our dietitian. And they have found that really helpful. So I often have patients who initially say to me, like, I'm coming to a psychologist, why are you talking to me about walking or about my eating? But when I can tie together, we have one body, and sometimes we think physical and mental health are separate. They're not. They're all on this one frame, right? So when we think about it that way, it can be really helpful for people. So there's a growing body of literature that talks about nature. People getting outside and just engaging with nature actually decreases their levels of stress, the level of depression, level of anxiety. Even pictures of nature can help. So I feel like in our setting, University Medical Center, we do a great job at helping people connect their mental and their physical health. Helping people eat better, we know, helps your body function better and also helps you think and process information better. So learning how to eat properly, learning how to engage in physical activity at least a couple of days a week, as well as like deep breathing and other things I can talk to you about just as a psychologist. I think those are things that are really helpful.
Anything else you want to add? I think that was some good information.
Okay, I do. And one thing, which for me is a pet peeve, because often, particularly for minority women, there's this idea that minority women have all of this support, so they shouldn't have any stressors. And there's a difference between quantity, a lot of people in your network, and quality, people you can actually go to who provide you with support. I used to do a lot of interviews with, in particular, middle-aged and older African-American women, and it started to humor me. Not that it was really funny, but they would talk about how much support they gave to others, which is not the same. So to me, it's really important when we talk about support that we really ask the questions, who do you go to when you need support, right? Which is different than who do you provide support to. So I think if we're talking about minority health, but particularly minority health for women, we really have to look at the individual and ask them questions and make sure they are doing okay. So this is the article that I dreamed to write one day. And the title of the article would be, I See You. Whenever I have a minority patient, and just asking them questions, asking them how they're doing, to me, that actually helps them get better. So I can do all the fancy stuff I've learned in my training, but sometimes just being seen is really important, and often we don't necessarily see people. So I think, again, thinking about the mental and physical health together, and then allowing people to tell their story and actually seeing them and providing the treatment that works for them, I think is incredibly important.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that's how we start the conversation of checking on, you hear people say, check on your strong friends, and just ask them how they're doing and give them a chance to really respond and tell you how
yes.
they're doing.
Right. And what I always, whenever I've done a few of talks on mental health, like in a religious setting, and I always say, you don't owe everyone your business. So this idea that, like, you have to tell everyone you've gone to see a mental health provider, you don't. But what you have to do, to me, for all of us, is figure out how to take care of ourselves, right? And that can, you can just do that. You don't have to tell everyone you've done that. You just have to do what you need to do to make sure you're functioning better. So to me, when I think about mental health, is being able to carry out your daily routine in a manner that doesn't cause you a tremendous amount of distress. Or your loved ones, because sometimes they suffer when you're suffering. So I think that's the important piece, and I think sometimes we just miss that.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Crowther, for joining us today on this week's Health Matters Surrounding Minority Mental Health.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.